church. Why don't you take your seats? Awesome. Well, today I want to continue sharing around our topic, which is more in 24. More in 24. It's going to be a good year. Yeah. Yeah. Amen? Yeah. It's going to be a good year. Last year for our anniversary, Hamish did the planning for our anniversary last year. It was our four-year anniversary. And one of the things that that he chose to do is we went to Kingpin, the arcade in the city. And we spent a few hours there in the afternoon. And it was the first time I've ever done that, actually, except for one birthday party that I had as a kid, actually, was at an arcade. But I have not done anything like that since I was a kid. And so it's fair to say that I was not great at a lot of the activities we were doing at the arcade. But I gave everything a good shot. I gave it a good shot. But one of the things that we did is there's this Jurassic Park game. And basically what happens is you're on the back of a truck and these dinosaurs just jump out and try and attack you, as you can imagine, in a Jurassic Park game. And I just could not get my head around this game. I could not focus. There was, the tensions were high. There was too much going on. Like, I was fearing for my life. And there was too much going on that I could not focus on having to reload my weapon, having to aim in the right direction, having to shoot the right thing. I just couldn't do it. So I was firing so fast. I was going for it. I was giving it my all, but most of the time I was firing blanks because I couldn't remember to reload. I couldn't remember to focus on things. I was just shooting. I was just shooting, and I was so flustered, and it was so stressful. And basically at Kingpin, there's these little tappy things with your money on your card, and basically whenever you die, you've got to tap and pay more money to come back alive again. And so I'm tapping every 2 seconds just so that Hamish can finish this game. And so I chewed through our cash that day, probably just on that one game. It was stressful. There was so much going on. I just could not focus. How many of us feel that way a little bit in day-to-day life sometimes? You know, you're so busy trying to hit all your targets. You're so busy trying to tick all of the boxes, keep everyone happy, keep the plates spinning in the air, that sometimes, I know for me, it feels like I'm doing everything and therefore doing nothing well, right? Anyone else? We can spend so much of our life just shooting blanks, just going for it, giving it a red hot go, but missing the point sometimes, right? And as I'm getting older, I'm realizing more and more just how fragile life can be. And that what we choose to spend our time on, what we choose to spend our focus on, is really, really important. It's really important. The days fly by. The years fly by. You know, I swear it was just yesterday that I was in high school with bright orange hair, wondering what I was going to do with the rest of my life, you know, and now I'm a year off being 30, you know, and I swear it was just 2 seconds ago. You know, it talks about this actually a lot in the Bible, in Psalm chapter 39, verse 4 and 5. It says, "Lord, remind me how brief my time on earth will be. Remind me that my days are numbered, how fleeting my life is. You have made my life no longer than the width of my hand. My entire lifetime is just a moment to you. At best, each of us is but a breath." Time is short. Time is short. And the Bible also tells us that God has a plan and a purpose for how we spend those days. He has a purpose and a plan for each of us. There are targets that are designed for you to hit. There are things that you are called to do. There are people that need to be saved. There are missions to carry out. There are callings for you to pursue. Our days are numbered. And I'm feeling like we don't actually have a lot of time to shoot our shot. And it can't be aimless. We can't just shoot our shot randomly, but we have to live each of those days, each of those moments with purpose and intention that aligns with what God wants for our life. We need to be shooting our shot with intention, with purpose. You know, I have two little kids and I do not have a lot of spare time these days. And so the things that I give my energy to, the shots that I'm taking, have to be things that are purposed by God. And I'm sure that you have your own specific reason why you need to know that the things you're saying yes to, the things that you're spending your minutes on, the things that you're investing your life into are purposed by God. They're purposed by God. I need more purpose in 24. I need to know that I'm in the right spot. In 1 Corinthians 9, it puts it like this. It says, "Don't you know that in a race, all the runners run, but only one gets the prize? So run in such a way to get the prize." Everyone who competes goes into the training. They do it to get a crown that won't last, but we do it to get a crown that will last forever. Therefore, I don't run like someone running aimlessly, and I do not fight like a boxer beating the air. Purpose. Intention. The title of my message today is Filled, Focused, Firing. Filled, Focused, and Firing. In order for us to live purposeful lives, in order for this year to be purposeful for you, I believe that we need to be filled, we need to be focused, we need to be firing. Filled by the Spirit, focused on the things that He brings into our view, and firing in obedience, releasing the things that He has enabled us to do, the things that He has graced us to do. And each aspect of this, I believe, is so important. And I also believe that the sequence in which we're doing these things is important as well, because we can be focused without being filled, but that's religion. That's religion. We can be filled without being focused, but that's an experience. And we can be firing without the infilling and without the right focus, but that is ineffective and fruitless. And so the sequence that we carry these things out is important. It's important. And we see this pattern being fulfilled and taking place in a few places in the Bible. But the one that I want to focus in on today is in David's life, particularly between the moments of when he was first anointed and when he comes up against Goliath. He was filled, he was focused, and he was firing. And so I want to look at that today, the first thing being that to live with more purpose, we have to be filled. We have to be filled. If you have your Bibles this morning, if you open to 1 Samuel chapter 16, and at this spot we come across, Saul is king at this time, and David is a teenager. He's a weedy little teenager, and basically Saul is in turmoil. He's being tormented. And so we'll pick it up at verse 11. If you're reading along with me, it says, Now the spirit of the Lord departed from Saul, and a harmful spirit from the Lord tormented him. And Saul's servant said to him, "Behold now, a harmful spirit from God is tormenting you. Let our Lord now command your servants who are before you to seek out a man who is skillful in playing the lyre. And when the harmful spirit from God is upon you, he will play it and you will be well." And so Saul said to his servants, "Provide for me a man who can play well and bring him to me." One of the young men answered, "Behold, I have seen a son of Jesse who is skillful in playing, a man of valor, a man of war, prudent in speech, and a man of good presence, and the Lord is with him." Therefore Saul sent messengers to Jesse and said, "Send me David, your son, who is with the sheep." And Jesse took a donkey laden with bread and a skin of wine and a young goat and sent them by David his son to Saul, and David came to Saul and entered his service. Saul loved him greatly, and he became his armor bearer. And Saul sent to Jesse, saying, "Let David remain in my service, for he has found favor in my sight." And whenever the harmful spirit from God was upon Saul, David took the lyre and played it with his hand. So Saul was refreshed and was well, and the harmful spirit departed from him. God's purpose started unfolding for David, because the Lord was with him. It said he had good presence and the Lord was with him. His presence was with him. See, David was a worshiper, and we obviously know that in the context of many other scriptures in the Bible, but he was a worshiper through and through. He prioritized the presence of God. He prioritized the presence of God, and so the Spirit of the Lord was with him. You know, we've been given the gift of the Holy Spirit, and it is absolutely a gift. And so the first thing that we need to do to step into his purpose for us is prioritize being in his presence. Prioritize his presence and remain filled with his Spirit. His presence has to be our priority. It's not by might, it's not by power, but it's by his Spirit that we succeed. It's by his Spirit that we follow in his plan for our life. You know, the focus of your life, your year, your season, your week, your day, your focus comes from this filling of the Holy Spirit. It has to come from the filling of the Holy Spirit. He highlights, he directs, he guides, he enables, he calls. It all has to come from him. And without the filling of the Spirit, there is no way that you can be focused on the right thing for your life. There is no way you can be focused on the right thing without him and firing in the right direction. You know, we might have good ideas. We might even have wise ideas, but we need God ideas. We need God's plan, not our plan. And unless you're allowing the Spirit to speak to you, and unless you're going to him for your sustenance and for your rest and allowing him to pour into your life on a regular basis, then we can't go the distance. We're just not going to have what it takes. You know, we've been watching this show called Alone. Well, mostly Hamish has been watching it because I get a bit squirmish. But there's this show called Alone. And in this show, basically, they just get dumped out in the wilderness and see how long they can survive. And there is one thing to this show, which is why I stopped watching it, by the way, just because of the squirmishness. But the main part of this show is that they have to hunt to be fed. If they can't hunt properly, then they don't eat. And if they don't eat, they're done. They're done. They have to go home because they're just too weak. They have nothing to keep them going. And it's the same with us. I know this is simple stuff this morning, but you have to be full to be able to go the distance. You have to be filled with the Spirit. You have to be in his presence consistently to be able to have the strength to do what he wants you to carry out. We have to remain full of the Spirit. We can't pour out if there is nothing coming in. You know, the thing that I love the most about being in his presence and making his presence our priority is that he doesn't make us play chasey. We're not hunting for his presence. It's not hard to find. In fact, most of the time he is right there waiting for you to acknowledge his presence. In Jeremiah 29 verse 13, it says, "You will seek me and you will find me if you seek me with all of your heart." With all of your heart, you will find me, his presence, if you seek me with all of your heart, our priority. His presence, our priority. If you seek him, you will find him. You know, you don't need a ritual to be in his presence. Yes, you might need to carve out time, but you don't need a ritual to be in his presence. The amount of times that I have felt his presence doing day-to-day things, doing normal things, moments in my kitchen, moments playing with my son when I'm out and about for the day, whenever I get into my car, normal things, and his presence is with us. His Spirit is in you. You don't have to go far to be in his presence, but we do have to prioritize knowing that he's there and spending time with him. If he has your heart, then you will have his presence. You will have his presence. And that's what tonight is about, if I can encourage you. Consecration. It's about handing him your heart, opening up your life and allowing him to fill you afresh, and to then go and focus on the things that he is asking you to do this year. That's what consecration is about. You know, the last thing to note about his filling is that when we're filled with his Spirit, his favor is upon you. Yeah. When you are filled, you're also favored. You're also favored. David found favor with Saul because the Spirit of God was on him. You know, opportunities opened up for him because the Spirit of the Lord was with him. Yeah. You know, he just had to choose to focus in and start releasing what God had put inside of him. It wasn't always easy, I'm sure. Some of the things, as we're going to look at later, some of the things that he was asked to do were hard things, but he was anointed for it by the Spirit. He was anointed. Why do we strive so much of the time in our own strength to get our act together, to put our life together, to know where we're headed, to have our ducks in a row? And we strive to do all of this when there's an ease that comes with being favored by him because we're filled by him. There's an ease that comes. His yoke is easy and his burden is light. There's an ease. Have you noticed in the Bible how many times Jesus tells somebody basically just to chill when there's chaos happening? I think of Mary and Martha, and Martha's buzzing around and Mary's sitting at his feet, and he's like, sitting at my feet is the right thing to do. Just chill. It's okay. And the disciples freaking out in that boat in the storm where Jesus is in the boat with them. And they wake him up and he's like, guys, chill. I'm here. You're in my presence. That's all you need. Let me take care of the rest. The way that I see it is that if he is the creator of the universe, if he can make something out of nothing, if he can come up with a plan to save all of humanity, then I don't need to solve my own plans on my own. I just need to be filled. I just need to be in his presence. I just need him to give me clarity. Any solutions that I need, I'll find in his presence. I don't want to do it on my own. I need his input in my life. I need his filling every day. I need his refreshing. I need his rest. I'm not going to waste my energy worrying about what I'm going to do with my life or what I'm going to do in my situation. I'm going to seek him out and put myself in his presence. Our focus has to come from his feeling. Can I challenge you today that maybe if you're feeling a bit scattered or a bit blurry about your life or about this year for you, then maybe you need to become more aware of his presence in your life. Maybe you need to put yourself in a position for him to bring clarity. The second thing that we need to live with more purpose is to be focused. Focused. And for us to be able to focus in on the right things, the key thing is that he must become greater and we must become less. Those words are spoken by John the Baptist. And John the Baptist, he was an amazing man because his whole purpose was to prepare people for the coming of Jesus. The humility to lay down his whole life for the sake that people would recognize Christ. He wasn't, well, we don't know if he had any other concerns with his life, if he had his own plans, if he had his own wants, but he got out of his own way to make room for the Savior. And we need to do the same. We need to get out of our own way, both in terms of our selfish desires and submission and letting go what we want, and in terms of our capabilities and our limitations. Getting out of our own way. You know, just like those words and just like John the Baptist, doing something for his glory has to be a higher priority than doing something for your own fulfillment and satisfaction. My story is for his glory. That's it. Full stop. When you get to heaven, that will be enough. If you're able to say that, that will be enough. That you lived your life for his glory. You know, in 24, have you considered whether you're actually willing to lay down your plans in order to pick up his plan? You know, it's only in his kindness that he gives us the desires of our heart. And by that, of course, I mean that he plants in our heart desires that align with him. He doesn't give us what we always want, but he aligns us to himself. He aligns us to himself. Do you really want what he wants? This year, do you really want what he wants? Does your heart still break for what breaks his heart? You know, most of the things that we want in and of ourselves just don't matter. In the end, they just don't matter. What matters is fulfilling what he asks of us, which is to bring him glory and live the kind of life that points people to Jesus. That's what matters. And can I tell you, there is going to be sacrifice. There is going to be pushing. There is going to be stretching. There is going to be growing. There is going to be moments where you're like, I just can't do this. This is too hard. And that is why we're filled with his Spirit, because we can't do it on our own. But earthly sacrifice is heavenly reward. The other aspect of him becoming greater and us becoming less is choosing to see his greatness over our weakness. Have you noticed that the things that you pursue, we often say yes to or no to depending on our capabilities or our limitations? Somehow we still make it about us. You know, don't get me wrong. Everyone has a unique gifting. Everyone has something unique to bring. And we can't all be good at everything. There are unique things. We can't be useful for everything. But I want to encourage you this morning. And this is where I really want to focus in for today. This is what I feel like the Lord is saying. There is more to you than what you see. Because you're filled with His Spirit, there is more to you than what you see. Faith is the basis for living a purposeful life. It's the basis. The only credits and limitations that need to come into question here are God's. And can I tell you, He has a whole ton. He has a whole list of credits. And He has zero limitations. And so maybe this year that needs to be a little more in our focus. A little more in our focus. Maybe this year He's going to ask something of you that you have never considered. And your first response is going to be no. Don't let our list get in the way of His list. There is more. There is more. You know, I couldn't go past thinking about Rodney and Anushka when I was thinking about this week. You know, Anushka is a scientist. She's amazing. And yet she felt God put in front of her to be the kids' pastor. Was it her thing? No. Was it a sacrifice? Yes. Was it big shoes to fill? Yes. Did she think she could do it on her own? No. But it wasn't about her credits. It was about what God asked of her. It wasn't about her limitations. It wasn't about what she could do or what she couldn't do. It was about what God could do. End of story. And here we are. You know, time and time again, I'm sure that we can all have a story like that, because I am sure that between the day you're born and the day you die, something is going to be asked of you that you didn't see coming, because we live by faith. You know, when I finished up doing youth and I served a season there, and I was like, okay, well, what next? I don't know. And to be completely real and honest with you right now, I was like, God, I'll do anything, just not women's ministry. And only because it's a bit pink sometimes for my liking. I don't know. I have nothing against women. Please don't be offended. I love the women in our church. And so, but one thing that I did feel God leading me in was to do a play group for mums and babies, and to reach out to our community in that way. And I was talking to Grace, my sister, about it. And so we started this thing called Mini Buds, which runs on Thursdays if you have kids, by the way, or if you know anybody. But so we started this playgroup, and it wasn't until a few months ago that Hamish is like, do you know that you're doing women's ministry? And I was like, oh, yeah, I am. I'm chatting with mums every week. You know, but that's something that I didn't see coming. It's something that I did not see coming. But he enables. You know, David's view of God was so front and center in his life that he didn't see himself as too small. He didn't see himself as too young or too incapable. He, even in the face of Goliath, he didn't see Goliath as too big, and he didn't see himself as too small, because God was front and center. He was a weedy teenager going up against a giant. You know, and then they're like, well, you better come and try on the armor so that you might live. And he's like, oh, I haven't practiced in it, so I don't need it. you know, God is front and center. And then they're like, oh, so are you good with a store? And he's like, no, but I'm really good with a pebble. You know, like he saw God. No limitations. End of story. And he put up his hand. He volunteered. It wasn't even like he was giving an answer, a yes or no. He put up his hand. You know, and this is what he says about it, right? He's in the face of Goliath, and this is what he says. He says, you come against me with sword and spear and javelin, but I come against you in the name of the Lord Almighty, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you've defied. This day the Lord will deliver you into my hands. I will strike you down and cut off your head. This very day I will give the carcasses of the Philistine army to the birds and the wild animals, and the whole world will know that there is a God in Israel. All those gathered here will know that it's not by sword or spear that the Lord saves, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give all of you into our hands. They are not the words of somebody that sized himself up. They're words of faith. They're words that show that God was front and center. Front and center. There's this song that I love, and we're actually going to spend a little bit of time at the end just now just reflecting on these words. But this song called More Than Able. More Than Able. And I just want to read you some of the lyrics now. And it says, when did I start to forget all of the great things you did? When did I throw away faith for the impossible? How did I start to believe that you weren't sufficient for me? Why do I talk myself out of seeing miracles? You are more than able. You are more than able. Who am I to deny what the Lord can do? Who am I to deny what the Lord can do? See, now I see all that I have. I've got my confidence back. I put my trust in the one who still does miracles. You are more than able. You're more than able. Who am I to deny what the Lord can do? Maybe that's your catchphrase for this year. Who am I to deny what you can do? Who am I to deny? There is more in you than what you see. There might be more asked of you this year than what you see now. And I hope that when that time comes, that you can remember, that by His Spirit, you can remember. You know, you might be going into this year believing for a miracle. And this reminder is for you, but I also just feel so strongly today that this is for the person who's going into this year, maybe without a sense of purpose. Maybe you're in your daily routine. Maybe you're keeping the plates in the air, but that's about it. And maybe you have dreams that feel dead, things that feel done. Maybe you're just approaching this year without passion or without zeal for your life. There is more. There is more. He is able to do more than you can imagine. The days ahead of you are better than the days behind you. It's better. He wants to renew your passion for His purpose. He wants us to lift our faith today. He wants to reinstate His purpose in your life. He wants to reignite the joy of serving Him and following Him and saying yes to Him. The last thing this morning, and if the band could come, the last thing to live a life of purpose is that we want to be firing. We want to be firing. Once we're full of His Spirit, once we're focused in on His plan, then we're going to take action. We've got to take action. In Matthew 16, 25, a verse I'm sure a lot of us know well, but it says, if you try to hang on to your life, you will lose it. But if you lose your life for my sake, you will find it. You will find it. You know, before David goes into this battle with Goliath, he says to King Saul, he says, let no man's heart fail because of a Philistine. He says, I, your servant, will go. I will fight. He was willing to lay down his life for the sake of others in obedience to God. And in the same way, how do we get started? Is we simply see our life as a gift to others. Your life is a gift to others. It's a sacrifice. It's an offering to bring glory to God and that others would know Him. The attitude of our heart should be, how do I give my life to bless or to encourage or to uplift, to serve, to strengthen? How do I live that kind of life? See, we have to be willing to release anything that the Lord has given us. We have to be willing to release. I read this quote this week that I love, and it says, "Let every man abide in the calling wherein he is called, and his work will be as sacred as the work of the ministry. It's not what a man does that determines whether his work is sacred or secular. It's why he does it." It's why. What you do is going to be very different than what I do. But what we all do is bring God glory. What you're doing for his glory doesn't have to look like what anyone else is doing. Whether you're in ministry, whether you're in a secular job, it's all for his glory. It's all for his glory. It's for his sake. Your life is a gift.